Welcome to Patriots Nation. It's Pat Wright. Hope you guys had a great day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Starting off the news of the week. First up, Candace Owens is out at the Daily Wire. The government and Congress has passed a $1.2 trillion funding package. And then we're going to talk about this very, very recent controversy over the phrase, Christ is King. This is going to be a very important podcast. Stay tuned. Enjoy. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and I slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people, Selah. This is Psalm 3, Save Me, O My God, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And yes, this is absolutely a psalm we want to pray over ourselves, speak over everyone, and recognize that just because, for those who are Christian, just because you're a Christian does not mean that your life is going to be great. It does not mean that people are going to love you. In fact, Christ actually says we will be hated. Christians will be hated by the world. Now, ultimately, is because they hated God first. But I think sometimes we, in our comfort as Christians, tend to forget that we are going to be hated by the world. And that is not necessarily a bad thing, that we are hated by the world, if we are hated because of Christ. And we see this. King David cried out to God because people were trying to kill him. And that is exactly what we're going to, that's going to happen to Christians. It's been happening to Christians for 2,000 years. They've been killed for their beliefs. And we must remember to praise God in the good times and in the hard times when people are trying to kill us. We praise him for his goodness. Now, we also ask him to save us. But sometimes it's not God's will to save us. But yet we still call on God. We still praise God. We still trust God. Anyway, guys, this is episode 208 of Patriots Nation, and the podcast is still available on all the normal platforms, Spotify, Beyond Pod, CastBox, Deezer, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, TuneIn, iTunes, Amazon Music, Player FM, and of course, the video show is available on Rumble, rumble.com/PatRiotOfficial, or you can watch the video show on Odyssey, odyssey.com/@PatRiotOfficial, link in the description below for all the links to listen to the podcast or to watch the podcast, depending on whatever platform you prefer. But then, of course, there is the blog. It's myfellowpatriots.substack.com. Link in the description below. You can get every article I write directly in your inbox, as well as links to listen to every podcast episode whenever a new episode goes live. Again, patwrightofficial.substack.com. Link in the description below. 100% totally free, not charging you anything. Again, you get every article that I write directly in your inbox whenever it goes live, as well as links to listen to every podcast episode, as well as the show notes for every podcast episode in your inbox every Monday morning when a new episode goes live at 5:30 a.m. Eastern time. Again, patwrightofficial.substack.com. You don't want to miss out. But let's jump into the show. News first from Just the News. Candace Owens out at Daily Wire. Yes. The conservative media personality Candace Owens has parted way with with the Daily Wire. According to CEO Jeremy Boring, who said on Friday in a post on X, quote, Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship, end quote. And the article goes on to talk about how Boring did not provide a reason for the split between Owens and the Daily Wire, but it is really because her comments about Israel and Jews. Yes, it is a little bit over their difference in opinion over the war between Israel and Gaza, but it is not just about that. That is a factor absolutely in play, but the broad factor is Candace Owens' blatant anti-Semitism. her blatant anti-Semitism that she has expressed both on X as well as on other shows and on her own show on The Daily Wire. And now there are people who are crying censorship and deplatforming. No, sorry, that's not the case. The Daily Wire is a private organization, private company. They have the right to determine who is a host and working for their platform or not. It's just like any other job. Your boss doesn't like your work, you're gone. That's how this works. And so, yes, Daily Wire absolutely has the right to fire Candace Owens and to not have her show on their network anymore. And considering her blatant anti-Semitism and the fact that she's been called out by it by other people and she's refusing to be repentant about it, and continues to lie as justification for her comments, it's a good thing that she's gone. And unfortunately, she's obviously playing the victim. It's not unfortunate. She is playing the victim, as she has for a while. Every organization that she works at, when she leaves your organization, usually it's because she's been fired from the organization, although sometimes it's on her own volition. She goes and plays victim and attacks the organization, and she plays the victim card. And no one likes a whiny person who plays the victim card. It honestly shows her to be a grifter, especially when you look at her history. And people now are diving more and more into Candace Owens' history and seeing that in 2016, she was very, very anti-Trump. Then Trump won, and then she was very, very pro-Trump. And then she was very, very pro-Israel. And now she's very, very anti-Israel. She goes wherever there's money, regardless of the truth, and that is a good enough reason to remove her from the Daily Wire. And then you factor in her blatant anti-Semitism. Yeah, it's good that she is gone. Of course, now, this means that she's probably going to be even more unhinged, because even though she claims she doesn't know him, she's probably going to get involved with people like Nick Fuentes, one of the most anti-Semitic people on the internet. And he has an army of grapers, as they call themselves, who are extremely anti-Semitic. A bunch of Catholic virgin boys who have no maturity, no critical thinking skills, who essentially worship Nick Fuentes, says everything he says is right. But we're going to talk more about that for the main segment of the show around this whole Crisis King controversy that started this past Saturday, but a lot yesterday, if you're listening to this podcast on Monday, March 25th, when it goes live. Got some stuff to talk about for the main segment of the show. But yes, Candace Owens is very likely going to be much more unhinged than she was before, and radical, and it's not good. Especially for someone who claims to be a Christian, although she's Catholic, so not really a Christian. She's going on a downward spiral into irrelevance. And yes, her anti-Semitism is absolutely abhorrent. And her victim playing it shows she's not truly conservative. She's a grifter. And she cares about herself more than the truth. But let's move on. Next article from the Epoch Times. How every House member voted on the $1.2 trillion government funding package. The vote in this bill for the House, obviously, it was already passed by the Senate, so the House was 286 to 134, with 112 Republicans and 23 Democrats voting against the bill, which was actually a good thing. This bill was a disaster, as it usually is, especially when it's a $1.2 trillion funding package. Especially when we're over $36 trillion in debt. And obviously, by the time I'm recording this episode, the bill has already been signed by usurper Biden, and the government avoided a government shutdown, which actually would have been a good thing. We needed a government shutdown. And yes, this bill, the bill's disastrous, honestly. As it usually is, it includes the $200 million for new FBI headquarters. It includes a lot of wasteful and stupid funding. I literally haven't actually seen anything good in this bill, like long-term good. Most everything most of this is crap. Again, especially the government is over $36 trillion in debt. We do not have any money. And we're spending $200 million on a new FBI headquarters. Now, granted, in the grand scheme of things, that's like nothing. But it's still the point. Now, granted, there are some good things, such as there was no funding allocated to the UN's Relief and Works Agency. And we're going to talk about this for actually the next article. Because of the UNRWA, again, UN Relief and Works Agency, because they are directly working with Hamas to provide literal technical support to their war against Israel. The UN is literally working with a terrorist organization in their goal to wipe out Israel. Yeah. And Candace Owens wanted the U.S. to join with the U.N. in condemning Israel. I guess, because the U.S. should join with the exact same organization who is working with terrorists to wipe out an entire country because they hate the people. This is evil. From Candace Owens and the people who are defending this. But this is a good thing for the U.S. and this bill to not require funding for that. Now, of course, this bill does provide funding for the Department of State, Department of Defense, the Treasury, Homeland Security, Labor, Health and Human Services, and Education. More woke crap, more DEI stuff, more ESG crap, more taxation, more theft, not doing things like shutting down the border. Not providing more funding to the border. Not actually replenishing our military supplies in the way we need it. And cutting funding going to Ukraine and Russia to end this stupid war. And to at least pull out the U.S. involvement in this stupid war. They hate us. But they're politicians. Of course they hate us. But let's get to the main segment of the show. Or the next article. From the Washington Free Beacon, Congress unveils ban on funding for the UNRWA after allegations of role in terrorism. It's not just allegations. Like, we literally have photographic and videographic proof. We literally see internet data lines going up underneath a UNRWA relief building. Where Hamas had tunnels underneath it and had a base of operation underneath it. Yeah. That is serious. Also, it's been shown that at least 12 UNRWA employees were involved in Hamas's October 7th attack against Israel. Absolutely disgusting. Democrats are condemning this move to ban funding for the UNRWA because they have no issue with destroying Israel and no issue with providing support to those who want to destroy Israel. Oh, and by the way, at least 70% of those people who live in Gaza support Hamas, by the way. I think that's an important thing to recognize and keep in mind. In the forefront of your mind, actually, that when you say we are helping the 2 million innocent people living in Gaza, over 70% of those people support what Hamas is doing. They're not innocent. Oh, I think it should be important to mention that the UNRWA is not the only international supposed relief organization that is helping directly to provide support to Hamas. The Red Cross is doing the exact same thing. The Red Cross is bringing in supplies, including military supplies, in their relief trucks and ambulances, and providing these supplies, including food, including ammunition, including weapons, as well as intel, to Hamas. This I don't have a specific article for that, but this has been proven. We have video footage of it. We've had we have video proof of it. We have IDF soldiers who looked and saw into the back of these relief trucks and vans and ambulances from the Red Cross and saw this stuff, documented this stuff, took pictures of this stuff. We know this is happening. And so this is actually a very good thing that the U.S. is no longer, at least through funding of 2025, is going to be providing money to the UNRWA. Of course, now really the U.S. should completely pull out of the UN totally and never look back, as well as obviously by default pulling out of the World Health Organization, especially due to the fact that the World Health Organization's pandemic treaty is going to be voted on and very likely passed on the last week of May of this year, May of 2024. This is very, very serious. Additionally, the U.S. should actually go in and do investigations into the Red Cross and figure out why they are directly supporting a terrorist organization. Yeah, that is extremely concerning. And the fact that people are not up in arms about this, the fact that people are still donating to the Red Cross, the fact that the government is not looking into this organization, or even state governments like Texas or Florida looking into this organization, is serious, and they need to get onto that. Absolutely need to get onto that, because that is evil. Absolutely evil. And We're not in a good spot if that is going to be a relief organization in the United States for whatever. We know they have no issue funding and directly supporting terrorists. Not good. Moving on, next article from Fox News. Death toll rises to 133 in Moscow terror attack. 11 suspects arrested. Yes. So, in Moscow, Russia, right outside of Moscow, Russia, there was a crazy terrorist attack right outside of Moscow, Russia. ISIS has claimed responsibility for it, and it was at a movie theater, I believe. Or, sorry, it was a concert hall. And at least 133 people have died, with at least 250 injured, and 11 suspects, as the headline says, have been arrested. And I believe all of them will remain in custody until the trial date, where, if found guilty, they will probably be executed, which is what the U.S. should do. But, yes, what I find very, very interesting about this is, first of all, you have a lot of morons in the internet who are saying say a lot of things. They're saying either Russia is faking this attack, Russia attacked themselves, it was a false flag against ISIS. Others are saying that it was Ukraine behind the terrorist attack and not ISIS. Other people saying it was Israel, because everyone's got to blame the Jews for something, apparently. Which is weird, because U.S. intel has said that ISIS carried out this attack. Russian intel has said that ISIS has carried out this attack. U.S. intelligence warned Russia weeks before this attack that this attack was a probability by ISIS. And again, ISIS has claimed responsibility for this attack. I think when the terrorist organization takes responsibility for their own attack, maybe, and I know this might be difficult for some people, maybe we believe them? It's not like ISIS is taking responsibility for something good. It's not like they saved a bunch of children from a burning building or taking responsibility for that. No. They bombed a building, a concert hall, and killed 133 people and have injured over 200 people in addition to that 133. But what is really interesting is there's been a lot of claims that Russia funds ISIS. Why would ISIS launch a terrorist attack against Russia if Russia's the one who funds their terrorism operation? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And what doesn't make a lot of sense is the claims that Russia funds ISIS. We know China funds ISIS. China funds a lot of these terrorist organizations. But I think maybe in the past, Russia has funded ISIS. We know the U.S. helped launch ISIS and has funded ISIS. But at least recently, Russia has not been funding ISIS. And I think it's very evident the fact that this attack was carried out. Again, you don't attack the hand that feeds you. I think it's that's not what happens. Again, if you're receiving funding, you're receiving whether it's direct money, whether it's armaments, whether it's intel, whatever, you don't then go and attack the person who was funding you. That doesn't make sense. Like, you don't need to be like a rocket scientist to figure that out, that doesn't make sense. But alas, this has happened. And obviously, we pray for the people that were injured. Just because they're Russian doesn't mean this wasn't a travesty, that 133 people were killed and over 200 were injured. And I pray that there is justice and the 11 involved, if they truly are guilty, are found guilty and then publicly executed. I think the exact same thing should happen if it happened in the United States. I'm in favor of public executions. No more private executions. Let people actually see what happens. Let people see what the punishment is for action like this. That is a deterrent. And unfortunately, though, most people are too soft. Although I think Russia has the guts to actually do something like that. But moving on, let's get to the next article. From the Washington Examiner, Marjorie Taylor Greene files a motion to vacate against Speaker Johnson after bipartisan spending deal. This is a good thing. Speaker Johnson is set to face his own ouster after expediting bipartisan spending legislation through the lower chamber on Friday, March 22nd. Now, of course, this may happen, pass, it may not pass. I can't say this is a good thing if it passes, because Kevin McCarthy was a terrible House Speaker, and we thought Mike Johnson was going to be a good replacement, and he turned out to be way worse than McCarthy, way worse than McCarthy, and McCarthy was bad. So that tells you how bad Mike Johnson is, and we don't have serious Republicans. We just don't have serious Republicans who the majority of Republicans would vote for, so to give that person enough votes to be the Speaker of the House. Again, there are some principled Republicans. There's just not enough other principled Republicans or principled conservatives who are in the House of Representatives who would actually vote for these principled people. And so maybe this ouster will work. Maybe he'll have enough votes to be out. But what's going to stop us from getting someone worse? Or from a Democrat becoming the Speaker of the House? Because the margins are so close that you could absolutely have a Democrat become the Speaker of the House, even though you'd still have a technically a Republican majority in the House. While I applaud Marjorie Taylor Greene in doing this, I'm not confident that this is going to, any good will actually come out. Now, is it possible that something good could come out of this? Absolutely, something could be good with this. We could actually get a principled conservative like Jim Jordan to be Speaker of the House. But the odds are very, very, very much against him. And maybe we'll have something like the stonewalling that we had with trying to find a new Speaker of the House. But that's not necessarily the case. And unfortunately, I think we would have more, we'd have less people willing to participate in such a de facto filibuster. That's the term. Again, we're, you know, between a rock and a hard place because Mike Johnson is a terrible speaker. Kevin McCarthy was a terrible speaker. But we also don't have great Republicans. I think very likely any Republican that will win is most likely going to be a terrible Republican, simply because we do not have enough, again, as I mentioned before, principled conservative Republicans who are willing to vote for a principled conservative Republican to be Speaker of the House. We'll get someone like Mike Johnson or worse, or we'll get a Democrat. Or Mike Johnson will be out, run again, and win the speakership again. We are between a rock and a hard place. Welcome to terrible Republicans, because the average Republican voter does not pay attention enough to know what is going on, and they just vote for the guy that's on Fox News, regardless of whether he's a principled conservative or not. And then we're left with a bunch of rhinos like Lindsey Graham, like Kevin McCarthy, like Mike Johnson, like Mitt Romney, etc. We get a bunch of losers. Because we have loser voters who don't know how to vote for truly principled conservatives. And then you have Donald Trump on top of things, not endorsing truly conservative Republicans. He'll vote for whoever will kiss his butt. He doesn't vote for actually principled people. He sometimes does, but it's usually by accident, not by intention. But we got one more article before we get to the main segment of the show. The jury didn't buy a Wisconsin election official's defense in election fraud case, a.k.a. a an election official in a voter fraud case was found guilty. So a Wisconsin election official who tried to say she was a whistleblower pointing out flaws in our voting system, well, her appeal failed. Her name is Kimberly Zapata, and she was a former deputy director for the Milwaukee Election Commission, and she was found guilty on March 20th, which was Wednesday, this past Wednesday, of misconduct in office and election fraud after ordering fake military ballots. Granted, though, she said that her purpose was not for the ballots to be processed, but then. Then why does she have fake military ballots ordered? Clearly, as well as creating fake names. I think we covered part of this case last year when this was going down back, last year, probably beginning of the year, because she was charged in November 22. But it's actually a good thing she was found guilty. Now, of course, this does not mean that we're having a big revival to use that term, because I can't think of a better term off the top of my head, in terms of actually shoring up our elections and reducing election fraud. This was one case, one specific case, and it is not a broad case like getting rid of all election machines going to only paper ballots, or only having single day voting, or having only specific targeted mail-in ballots. We're not seeing cases like that win. We are seeing limited scope events like this. Now, does it absolutely show an issue with election fraud? Because very likely, if one person is doing it, other people are doing it, whether in Wisconsin or in other states. But that's not enough to take down the system of voter fraud nationally. It is, again, one case, and so while this is a good thing, this is absolutely a good thing that the jury found her guilty, it is not enough to say that we are going to have a fair election in November. Because I very much doubt that we will have an actually fair election in November. I think we are far more likely to have it actually be more corrupt than the 2020 election or the 2022 midterm. Just the way I see it going, because we're having more and more corrupt justices who are willing to do less and less, and we've had too many people, just in the media, absolutely not destroy, but absolutely, we've had a bunch of fake conservatives speak out about crazy things about election fraud, and then not have the ability to back it up, or have the ability to back it up, but have the story and the rulings of the court spun so crazily that no one believes them when they actually try to bring forth actual election fraud. And we're not anywhere closer to having a truly fair and fraud-free or fraud maximally minimized system like we need for there to be a fair election in November of 2024. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But let's get to the main segment of the show, and it's going to be a doozy. This is not a new controversy. This has been a controversy, really since, this would go back further than October 7th. This goes back a little bit, but there is a big controversy over the phrase "Christ is King" or "Christ is Lord." They essentially mean the same thing. Now, from a biblical sense, both those statements are absolutely 100% undeniably true. Christ is King. Christ is Lord. The problem is, we have, just as people, the Marxists, co-opt the phrase Black Lives Matter, because, again, Black lives do matter, Asian lives matter, White lives matter, Hispanic lives matter, everyone's lives matters, except for pedophiles, but all innocent people's lives matter, that's an obvious statement. But they co-opt it to be a Marxist dog whistle, in a sense, although they didn't really hide their Marxism, but also be a Marxist rallying cry. You, in 2020, you say Black Lives Matter, you were not just saying that Black Lives Matter, you were identifying yourself, whether intentionally or unintentionally, with this Marxist organization. It was absolutely the case. Well, the exact same thing is happening now with the phrase Christ is Lord, because yes, Christ absolutely is Lord. The problem is, this phrase is being co-opted by a couple different groups. It's first, I think, was really being co-opted by Nick Fuentes and his Groypers, his anti-Semitic Chad Catholic or Trad Catholic integralists, who, because he's Catholic and most of his audience is Catholic. You got a bunch of virgin white boys in high school and college who have no experience in the real world, lack maturity, are reactionary, extremely anti-Semitic, generally fairly racist, and they wish to see basically everyone subdued under Christ, but under a Catholic integral system, where basically the Pope and the Catholic Church runs America. And we don't want that. It was used by them as a racist dog whistle against the Jews, because the Jews, as people, specifically the religious side, reject Jesus as the Messiah. Now, are the Jews absolutely in error in rejecting Jesus as Messiah? 100%. The Old Testament is very clear on the prophecies about who the Messiah would be, and the New Testament is very clear that Christ is the fulfillment of those prophecies. So, yes, Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah. In fact, Christ actually is the Greek word for the Jewish term Messiah. It's the Greek term for the Jewish word Messiah. Jesus Messiah is the same as saying Jesus is the Christ. But again, these people are using it as to bash Jews, and they're not using it to call Jewish people to repentance. They're not using it to share the gospel with Jewish people and to show how he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. They use it to say that Jews are inferior to people. They use it to bash it over people's heads. And that is not the biblical approach to that. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. Absolutely. It is a Ten Commandment violation. Absolutely. But then you also have people who are on not the Catholic side of things, although they would absolutely, a lot of them would agree with the anti-Semitism of Nick Fuentes and his Groypers, who are on the Christian nationalist side, the Reformed Christian nationalist side of things. This is the Andrew Torbas, the Andrew Iskars, to a lesser extent, because he is less racist and less anti-Semitic than both Andrew Torba and Andrew Iskar, but the Stephen Wolfe and the William Wolfe side of Christian National. This is the side I'm talking about. Specifically the Torbas and the Iskar side of things, and others who maybe are not as well-named as them, they are also using the Christ is Lord or Christ is King phrase as a bludgeon against Jewish people and not a calling of repentance. They're also using this to promote their own neo-integralist system theocracy in the United States with what they want with Christian nationalism, where they want to establish a Christian prince and they want to outlaw blasphemy and they want to force church attendance nationally, which is not biblical at all, and I could go into a deep dive of how this is not biblical, but I'm not going to go into that. But it is, and there again, a lot of people are using Christ as Lord as a political tool for that, and that is also taking the Lord's name in vain. Yes, Christ has all authority, as Jesus said in Matthew 28. Yes, he has all authority on heaven and on earth. But to use Christ's authority, or to believe that Christians have the same authority, or have the power to exercise Christ's authority on earth, is not biblical. We're able to operate and recognize Christ's authority in as much as preaching the gospel, telling people what God has commanded them, but we can't force them to obey what God has commanded them. You cannot force a person to become a Christian by the tip of the sword. This is actually what Christ means when he says, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. It's not if you want a military, or you support the Second Amendment and want to defend yourself and own guns, that's not what that means. That means if you want to force people to follow your religious, or force people to do things by the edge of the sword, by the barrel of the gun, you're going to die by those same means. It is not a right way of living. And so that is the controversy. The problem is that Marxism is behind both sides of this. Christian nationalism, while they would be opposed to communism, many of them are calling for a Protestant Franco. Franco, by the way, was the fascist dictator of Spain, who's also a buddy of Adolf Hitler. Although they did have some philosophical differences, he was still a fascist. Although a Franco-fascist versus a Hitler-Nazi fascist, there are some distinctions. Still fascism, still evil, still millions dead, and people oppressed. And so they are also Marxists, because fascism comes from Marxism, because Mussolini was a card-carrying socialist, a Marxist, when he theorized and came up with the political theory of fascism. So yes, the Christian nationalists who are promoting this are Marxists, yet not communists, but they are Marxists still. Whether they see it or not, they will deny they're Marxists. But what they advocate for with a Protestant Franco, now granted, not all of them do, but a lot of them do, whether it is a Protestant Franco by name or a Christian prince by name, or the principles are the exact same, and there is nothing that they can say to convince me otherwise, because it has been so clearly shown already that they are, in essence, the same. What this all leads me to say is the phrase Christ is Lord is absolutely 100% true. Absolutely 100% true. But it is being used by, it's being co-opted, just like Black Lives Matter was co-opted by Marxists, to push an agenda. An agenda that does not honor Christ in any sense, that actually blasphemes Christ and takes his name in vain. And people who do that should absolutely be shut down. They should be called to repentance. They should be condemned for their comments, for their actions. But overall, we need people, the average person who recognizes that Christ is Lord, but does not recognize the nefarious purpose of these Marxists and these legitimate fascists in the historical and political sense of the term, who are pushing this this neo-integralism into the United States. And they're completely unaware of that agenda, and they just are going along with Christ is Lord because he is Lord, and not understanding what is actually being done. Those are the people that I'm concerned for. Those are the people that James Lindsay is concerned for when he wrote about this on Sunday. This is who Michael Fallon is concerned about when he wrote what he wrote on Twitter on X yesterday, Sunday, March 24th. They don't want to see these people manipulated by these ingenuous, dangerous Marxists. And if people don't exercise discernment, they will be. And this is a very, very serious matter, because when you say Christ is Lord or Christ is King, and you use it as a bludgeon against people, as a weapon, as a sword against them, you are blaspheming God. You are taking the Lord's name in vain. And it is you are sinning against God. It is a sin that you must repent of if you do that. Absolutely. It is a sin. There's no question in my mind. And it's very serious. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please follow my podcast and share with your friends and family. That'd be greatly appreciated. You can follow me on Gab, Caught Up, Getter, and Frank Social, Pat Wright Official, and Truth Social, Pat Wright _Official. I will see you guys next week. God bless.